This week's Parsha, Parshas Ki Tetzeh, we learn the mitzvah d'oraisa, the biblical command to bury a dead body. As it says in Perek Chaf Aleph, Pasuk Chaf Gimel, that's chapter 21, verse 23, the verse writes, Ki kavor tikbarenu bayomahu, you shall surely bury the unattended corpse on that day. Or in this context, you shall surely bury the body that was just hung that day on the gallows. As a matter of fact, the Ramban, one of the Rishonim, bring down that the prohibition against allowing a body to remain unburied overnight applies even to those who die naturally. And he mentions that the only exception is in a case where it will bring honor to the mace, to the corpse, if the burial is delayed. However, today, and I'm pretty sure this is the halacha lemaisa, this is the bottom line law, is that even in Jerusalem, burial is never delayed. It doesn't matter if another 10,000 people will come to honor the body, that the fly-in from New York, wherever it may be, from the States, rather in Jerusalem, burial is done the day of death. And from here we can learn really an outgrowth of Jewish halachot pertaining to a mace, pertaining to a corpse, or a body that was just buried. The Rambam, Maimonides, asks the question that, let's say someone passes away, and he or she does not want a eulogy, or maybe this person wanted to be cremated and not buried in the ground. So the poskim speak about the idea of no shiva and not going to the funeral if a body is cremated instead of buried. I mean, after all, we could ask the question, why is cremation prohibited? And the Rambam answers, because you're nullifying the positive bal mitzvah of kvura, as we have in our parsha, Ki Tetzeh. The idea is to bury the mace, the dead body, and there is no burial when there is no body. I make the argument, maybe you can say the ashes will be put into the ground, if that counts as burial, as kvura in its own right. But no, there's an idea of panam chadashot, it's not you anymore, it's not the corpse anymore, once it's ground up into dust, and therefore it's not considered an actual burial. When this person is turned into ashes, the identity of that person is inherently lost. Obviously, look, if you want to talk about the Shoah, the Holocaust, or somebody who, God forbid, was burnt to death in a building where there's nothing left but ash, obviously it's not that person anymore. It was beyond natural means, and whatever is left of this person, albeit now it's ash, obviously there should still be a shiva. Obviously there should still be a eulogy. The poskim writes, the commentators write, that cremation causes one to lose the olam haba, to lose their portion of the world to come. The reason being that it's not a form of closure to have one's ashes go out to sea. Rather, this world is just a means to the next world, and the next world is something we strive to attain. And today, many wish to be cremated because it's more environmentally friendly, it may be cheaper, but in their minds, it's a practical issue, but really it's a deeper theological issue. So from here, we have to ask ourselves the question, isn't it a mitzvah to fulfill the words of a dying person? The Gemara says it's dependent on the mitzvah of the burial. It's all about the burial. That's what the mitzvah is all about. Well, what is the mitzvah for then? You shouldn't have this person lying around, not being buried. There's a purpose of burial for the living or the dead. And that's the tachlis, that's the bottom line question we have to ask ourselves when analyzing this Gemara. Is the purpose of burial to honor the deceased or to help the living with their mourning? Does this person have the right to say, I don't want to be buried, you know, when the kids have to honor the wishes? If it's for atonement, maybe it's the deceased person's call. But if it's for the honor of the living, it should not be the mace's call. The children should be allowed to do whatever they wish with the body. So Maimonides says that if this person says, I don't want to be buried, let's say Maimonides says, the deceased said in his lifetime, he left in his will, he wants to be cremated. The Rambam says we don't listen to him, because burial, as we just discussed, is a positive mitzvah from the Torah. Kavura, burial, is a doraita, is a biblical commandment. And we don't listen, therefore, to the parents' dying wishes. So there is a position, there is a positive mitzvah to bury him according to the Rambam. This is how we hold that the kavura is the deraita, and that is crucial. Moshe Feinstein had a famous question about, I believe it was a mausoleum. Someone, let's say, asks if they can be buried in a mausoleum, which is a really beautiful building. The burial, the mace, the corpse is not underground. It's within a within the annals of a building. So Rav Moshe famously paskin, no, it should not be done. The deceased cannot be buried in a mausoleum. It's a kaviyachol. It's like putting oneself in a coffin and leaving it on top of the ground. So it's not performing the mitzvah of kavura. So according to Rav Moshe, kavura implies burial underground, within the earth, right? Afar me'efer, that we come from dust and we return to dust. What about, let's say someone passes away in White Russia, the frozen tundra, where you physically cannot dig into the ground? Okay, perhaps a mausoleum would suffice in the interim. However, Moshe Feinstein was from Luban, Russia, so I'm sure he would know about this. In theory, one should put some dirt on top of the coffin if it's going to be placed in a mausoleum, at least temporarily. But Moshe says, in general, you should avoid mausoleums at all costs. So even a Jewish body should be placed far from a mausoleum, because just as a Jew should be buried near a Sefer Torah, which means you should be buried in good company, a mausoleum is, therefore, not a good company. It's not even legal company. In Israel, people are placed directly in the ground, in the tachrichim, in the shrouds, in order for them to decompose as quickly as possible and deliver the quickest of atonements. In America, we do not put bodies directly into the ground. Rather, we place the corpse into a box, and the box goes into the ground. Fulfilling the mitzvah of kavura is done by putting the body in the box, into the ground, and some actually have a minhag, the custom of putting a fake bottom of the coffin into the ground, and then when the box is lowered, the bottom is then removed, allowing the body to decompose faster and atone for itself faster. Is that legal in itself? Is another discussion. There are some who have the minhag, some have the tradition to put some earth from Israel into the grave if the body is being buried in Chutz La'aretz, outside the land of Israel. So it's like we're going from dust to dust. And really, the double lashon of our pasuk, kavor tikbarenu, right, you shall surely bury, means that not only must you be placed in a coffin, in the box, but it means one must be placed into the ground as well. And this is of the Rambam, the Ramban, and many of the Rishonim and Acharonim hold. So from here we can ask, I think, the final question for today: how much of a mace, how much of the dead person must be buried? The Mishnah in Shabbos writes that certain forms of carrying are prohibited. Without an Eruv, one can carry up to a certain distance, biblically speaking. So there's one opinion in the Gemara that says even a kezias, even an olive-sized portion of the corpse cannot be carried. This must be the minimum required for kavura, for proper burial. And the biblical requirement for burial is a kezias, is the volume size of an olive. And the second opinion of the Gemara says, Rosh of Rubo, the head and the majority of the body. Right? We have the principle that the majority of the body is considered the entire body. This is Machlokas Tosfos Yom Tov Mishnah LeMelech, two of the Acharonim, a little between the 16th and 20th centuries. And generally we follow the Chumrah, we follow the stringent opinion, and says that even a kezias, if God forbid a body was eviscerated and there's only a small olive-sized portion left, we make sure to bury that small volume-sized olive portion. And which I guess leads us to part B. What if somebody is killed, God forbid, in an accident, and blood is coming out of the body? It's dama nefesh, it's the blood of the soul. So the blood that comes out of the mace as he or she is dying, this you would think would be buried as well. And this person is obligated in burial still. Sometimes, in this case, no tahara, no purification process from the Chevra Kedusha is done, because there is a fear that too much blood will be removed. Therefore, one would not put any shrouds into the coffin. Rather, one would just wipe away some blood, clean up whatever one can. Remember, we want the mace, we want the corpse to be buried with his or her blood. That's crucial. And I guess question C now, let's just keep going rapid fire. What about if somebody dies and, God forbid, loses a limb? So is this limb obligated to be buried with the mace, with the corpse? So the Gemara in Ksuba says, you throw the limb into the pit. And we see from here that there is no din, there is no law of burying an aver. Rather, it's just crucial to bury the body itself. The reason why we put the limb in a pit and not in a trash bin is so that we don't confuse the Kohanim, the priests, and they would get impure, God forbid. This is what the Gemara in Ksuba says. Rav Moshe Feinstein disagrees with the Noda Yehuda, who corroborates the Gemara and says, no, you have to bury the limb with the mace, with the body. But let's say it's something like a kidney stone, a small piece of flesh. That's another discussion. But the conclusion is that limbs must be buried with the body, and that's how we paskin, that's how we hold today. What about a stillborn, a nafel from a miscarriage, God forbid? Must one bury a stillborn? So one opinion says that there is no din, there's no halacha bearing of burial by a nafel. The reason being that if you have a male nafel who passes away, he still has all his organs, he's not buried. But the Magen Avraham says you do bury the nafel, you do bury the body. What about burying Gentiles? Every Jewish fetus, we know the famous Medrash, every Jewish fetus knows the whole Torah, the angel comes, gives the Jewish fetus a patch on the nose, and he or she forgets it all. But non-Jews never learned the whole Torah, so they're not on the same level of Torah erudition in that regard. Rav Hirshel Schechter says that you cannot leave even a non-Jew unburied, and his source for that is Yoshua ben Nun. When Joshua, Moses' disciple, entered Eretz Yisrael, he buried everybody after the war in which he conquered different territories of Israel. So I thought this would be a nice, concise halachot pertaining to kvura, pertaining to burial. Mirtz Hashem, we should only know happy things in our lives, but it's always good to be prepared with all the halachot, with all the details. Shabbat Shalom.